Hi everyone, good morning. Welcome to the Smashy Business Show. I'm Wared Ahmed and Majid is back. Yeah. He's back, the man of the show is back. How are you doing, Majid? How was your trip to Pakistan?
It was good, had a lot of insights. What's happening in Pakistan? What's happening by the UAE in Pakistan?
How's anything you want to tell us? What's actually happening?
I realized that the IT industry is growing. I recently read a story, you'll see it today as well. The biggest Pakistani IT company right now, DevSync, they've bought a Dubai-based company. Mm. So I actually met the guy, the owner of that company, through a friend. We met at a common gathering. And I realized that even with all the internet hiccups that Pakistan is facing right now, there's a lot of stuff going on in Pakistan, politics, but keeping that apart, randomly one day WhatsApp stopped working. And I was like, okay, maybe it's WhatsApp, but it was like a government forced shutdown of WhatsApp. Mm. So there's a lot of stuff happening in Pakistan. And
no, but like even mainly, with it, did you miss your people? Did you miss everyone?
Obviously, I did. I met all of them. But it was an emergency trip and it was a short trip, okay. But it was a very nice, very fast-paced thing. Yeah, so we'll
you
talk about today, it when I'm in
you
zone
came
again.
From the airport today, right?
Yeah, I have been awake since 9 a.m. yesterday. So
crazy.
Yeah. 24 hours now.
24 hours awake?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah, but still, I have the energy. Don't worry. For Smashy, I always have the energy.
Okay, now, starting with our first topic for today, Donald Trump has just announced a $20 billion U.S. investment from Emirati billionaire Hussein Sijwani, the very owner of Damac Hills. Now, this is crazy news. Yeah. This is big news. Just a while ago, we saw how he, Sijwani celebrated New Year's with Donald Trump. Yeah. And I bet we were all wondering, we were all asking ourselves, like, why are they doing this? Why are they meeting up for New Year's? As if they're just casual friends. Yeah. No. There is more going on here, and we're seeing it in this story, and it's very interesting because of the fact that Hussein Sijwani, he's going to be funneling this $20 billion through EdgeNex data centers by Damac, and they're actually going to build data centers across the U.S., including Texas, Arizona, Oklahoma, Louisiana, Ohio, Illinois, Michigan, and Indiana. So a lot of cities here, a lot of data centers here. And I find that this is such an interesting collaboration in itself, because this is not the first time that Hussein Sijwani has worked with Trump. It's not the first time. You know, in fact, Trump himself has a golf course in Damac Hills 1. I've seen it for myself. And it is wide. It is wide and it's big.
The main idea, what I've realized is that Trump at its core is a businessman. He loves deals.
Of course.
So as soon as we knew that Trump has won, everyone started pitching in money for his inauguration fund. Mm. Because as soon as he comes, there will be an inauguration fund which will be used by the government to obviously start.
It was about $1 million from this
so
tech CEOs.
Zuckerberg gave $1 million. Mm. Jeff Bezos, Amazon, they gave $1 million. Salesforce, it's a big platform, they gave $1 million. These are the people I remember. Then one of the biggest investments came from SoftBank CEO, Masayoshi Son. He's a very good friend of NVIDIA CEO, Jensen Huang. And SoftBank is known to invest in some of the biggest startups. And it invested in NVIDIA in the time when NVIDIA wasn't that big. They just made gaming cards, graphic cards. But so that guy said $100 billion. Now, one of the people from Middle East, Hussein Sijwani, pitching in 20. And he also said, I just read it, that he also said that if the market conditions are right, we can maybe increase it. So it's not minimum 20. It's like, maximum 20. It's minimum 20. And most probably, if they see that it's a profitable venture and putting data centers in the U.S. is good.
You know,
they will
go
there.
What's so interesting about all of this, Majid, is that in this speech, Trump himself said that, you know, I believe that this happened because of the elections.
Yeah.
Now, if you all know, when the elections happened, Trump was almost shot. So the bullet actually grazed his ear. And I remember I did a piece about it a long time ago of will what happened to Trump, will it threaten his relationships with businessmen in the Middle East? And it has not whatsoever. Yeah. If anything, this man has become immortal. Yeah. You know, just very recently, we saw that his son, Eric Trump, was actually here for Bitcoin MENA, and he was showing the Jeddah Tower for the Trump Tower in Jeddah. We're seeing more Trump Towers opening here. I'm pretty sure there's one coming up in Dubai. And so this Trump has become immortal. He's immortalized himself, and he's only gained the trust of Middle Eastern investors, especially investors like Hussein Sejwani. There is such power in that.
And we saw, talking about all the deals, if you go, in a broader perspective, not directly related with Trump, Jared Kushner, his son-in-law, he also recently got investment from QIA and Oman Investment Authority. So that money came in. Obviously, the deals started in way before the elections happened. And he also came out and was like, no, this doesn't mean that if you invest in my companies, you'll get some thing from Trump. Mm. But again, you have to understand that getting to a person who has the ear of the president, it's still you're nearer to the power that be.
But
a lot of stuff is happening around Trump now.
But Majid, for me, what's really interesting is it's a UAE billionaire having the ear of the U.S. president.
Yeah.
That is very powerful. It's so powerful. And you know, especially for Damac properties themselves. They haven't been founded for that long, by the way. Yeah. They were founded in 2002 and they were publicly listed in 2015. They haven't been around this long. And look how many moves they're making. I would say as a real estate developer, they really stand out in the UAE. Like I was just telling Majid this morning, I was picking up a family friend from Damac Hills 1, and the wealth in Damac Hills 1, it's unbelievable. It's absolutely unbelievable. I would not say that that's a community where just middle class people live. Yeah. It's the richest of the rich.
Yeah.
Like I remember
it's a luxury community.
It is. Yeah. Every single house that we were passing, there was a Rolls Royce. I don't think I've ever seen
so many
that
Rolls
many.
Rolls.
No, really. I don't think I've ever seen that many Rolls Royce cars that casually. It was so casual. And I remember there was even one that wasn't even parked in the house. It was parked outside and it was parked wrong. And I remember looking at my sister and I'm like, wow, does he want someone to smash that car? does he want someone to do that? But the wealth in Damac, it's insane. And I live in Damac Hills too. And so I see the potential and they're only building more.
Yeah.
If you actually take a look around the UAE, you constantly see like Damac buildings that are still in construction. So we're definitely going to be seeing more from them.
Yeah, the main thing is, the really interesting thing about Damac and everything is that Damac properties is obviously Hussein Sejwani is the face, but his daughter Amira Sejwani is equally important and well-known figure in the industry.
Why is she
important? She's one of the core judges. There's three core judges. She's one of the core judges in Dubai Shark Tank. So she is there. She also has her own startup, the whole thing. Mm. So that's also related to property and like rent now, pay later schemes and all that. So she also has a startup of her own. Mm. Then she also works as a managing director. I don't remember the designation exactly, but she also works for Damac Properties. So she is also a growing figure. It's not that she's just sitting there and like Hussein Sejwani himself is the owner of the empire. He's building
the family,
his kids, he's
entire
building
family is involved.
And recently Bill Gates came and he had 2 or 3 days in the UAE and in the Middle East, and Hussein Sejwani, Amira Sejwani were one of the people, one of the group of people, the big people who met him. The apparel group lady,
this put me in a good mood.
She
Amira Sejwani
met him. So Amira Sejwani is, to be honest, she's one of the stories that I've seen throughout these last year, which has grown. She has grown into an authority figure. So it's not just, it's the good
so
thing that
to see women rising, especially in real estate. I don't see it in real estate a lot. I remember when I even went to the Bengati property show. there weren't actually that many women present there. There weren't. It was way much more men. Yeah. So to hear this, you know, that a woman is involved in real estate, but not just involved, leading, that's so amazing.
And running so many things together, like at such a young age, handling all of that, like the way Shark Tank, and then handling her own startup, and then handling the main family business as well. It shows you that the future is not that all these billionaires and all these millionaires or the big faces that we see, that the hype and the things that Dubai and UAE are doing on the basis of these people, they'll die down. Their next generation is nearly ripe enough. They are nearly ready to take over and obviously then move all this stuff to greater heights.
And I think it's Hussein Sejuani, what he himself is doing, it's so great, Majid, because of the fact that, you know, he's setting up like for his business long term. Because, you know, something that I see in certain businessmen is that they don't always involve their families, by the way. Like, I you know, I have a far relative. They do really well for themselves. And I was like, you know, who runs your business? And it's just two people. The business does really well for the amount of money that they make, and it's just two people. And I'm like, why don't you involve your family? Like, have more employees. Doesn't like it. So the fact that Sejuani, he's building his empire and he's building it with his children means that this is not going to be a dead empire.
And the most important thing is that the pivot is very, like, it's a very big contrast. Obviously, data centers are also built and buildings are also built, real estate is also built, but data centers require a different kind of expertise. So they set up a whole company, EdgeNex, and now they're using that company. They're going to Southeast Asia, they're setting up data centers. The investment is around $3 billion over the year, over the over a 5-year period in Thailand, in Malaysia. So they're going to regions which have low energy costs because data centers are like energy vampires. They'll suck energy out of the whole system. Russia, yeah, because they need a lot of energy to run because there's constantly data flowing, coming in, data being added. So they require a lot of cooling down also. So a lot of energy is involved. So this company, EdgeNex by the Mac, the name is EdgeNex by the Mac, it's going to Thailand and all these places where energy cost is low, setting up there, trying to build like a infrastructure which where no one is going. But then the Mac also took lead from Microsoft because Microsoft is also expanding in that region because energy cost is low.
I just I just made a link and I just realized something. Who else has the ear of Donald Trump? No other than Elon Musk. Elon Musk. I think soon we will be seeing something between SpaceX and EdgeNex by Dan. I definitely think we're going to see something there.
The main thing is with Elon Musk, the good thing and the reason that Zuckerberg wants to invest, Jeff Bezos wants to be in good terms, because with Musk coming in, into the whole picture of government, that Department of Government HSNC, they want to remove the obstacles because he also owns X, he also owns XAI. Space thing is on the side, but he owns tech startups and tech giants. So he wants less regulations around them. So this will benefit Zuckerberg, this
and
will benefit Amazon and
too.
Bezos. So they want to be, they know that this will happen, that there will be less regulation around all of it. Because then bureaucracy, processes, paperwork, Musk will remove all of it. Because he wants to bring the budgets down, he wants to bring the cost down. He thinks that if two people can do the job, why hire 100 people? So these tech giants know that Musk coming in, it will be very good for them. So better be on the good side of Trump.
But that does make me nervous for Americans because that means that a lot of people are going to be laid off.
It's not going to be laid off. To be honest, I don't think if you've given a job which is useless, redundant, you don't need that person to be in a department because government cost is a cost on the country eventually. So if
it's their taxes.
People, if people are laid off from government jobs, it's not that they will go jobless. Obviously, they've worked in government, they've gained good experience, they can go into the private side. But the problem is those people are a cost to the people who pay the taxes. So if they can remove that bureaucracy, UAE also has, I remember Our AI minister, he tweeted that we are already doing it. UAE already has a zero bureaucracy program, which started last year. And now US wants a zero bureaucracy, like removing the hurdles between people going to government and getting approval for something.
But the difference between us and them is we don't pay that much tax.
Yeah.
Of course, there's a consumption tax, but it's so little, you barely even notice it.
Still, we have a lot of processes like Emirates ID process, the visa process. Mm. All these processes are government processes. Mm. What UAE has done great is they've digitized it. First of all, so paper cost, office cost, physical space cost, all that goes on the side. And then they have removed like steps. So if it's a 7-step procedure, every year they try to remove one or two steps from it. So it becomes more efficient, more efficient. So the government cost on these steps and procedures reduces. That money can be used to build hospitals, build more parks, better the roads, infrastructure. They can invest that money anywhere.
Yeah, of course.
US will also do that.
But not just that, it's also actually the tax system here, it's also really great for foreigners.
Yeah.
And this is something I noticed when I was a sales associate. So a lot of the foreigners that would come in here, Majid, and they would buy things, they would be able to take back the tax.
Yeah, VAT.
And I remember I would even fill out the forms for them with their passports. Yeah. And I remember the entire process, it was so surreal for me because I was like, whoa, you can take back this money. They can take it back.
Yeah,
and that's such
a
great thing because not other nations don't do that.
Yeah.
Like
VAT,
I have a lot of friends in England. Yeah. You can't take back your tax.
The very first time I came to Dubai, I bought an iPad. And the company, the shop I bought it from, it was a VAT-free planet, that thing. And I bought it and I took back around 800 dirhams. So I got 800 because it was an expensive, the latest model. So I got around 800 dirhams back, which was good for me because VAT.
Was it for your son?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So yeah, I got the money back and I was like so happy that, okay, this also happens in the world. So yeah, it's a good thing.
It really is. Yeah. And now for our second topic of the day, one of my favorite countries, one of the most rising countries of this century, Saudi Arabia, has kicked off 2025 with a $12 billion bond sale and a $7 billion loan from Saudi Arabia's Public Investment Fund. And this is all a part of powering its Vision 2030.
Yeah.
Now, this is all according to Bloomberg. And very interestingly, they actually also secured investments from other foreign banks that actually totaled to $2.5 billion. And they were from Abu Dhabi Islamic Bank and Dubai Islamic Bank and Credit Agricole. This is so interesting.
Yeah. The main thing is to make it into an equation, very simple equation.
Mm.
I remember this story, this oil part was done way before as well.
Mm.
But this time they also added it that Saudi, to achieve the Vision 2030 goal, they need oil to be at $90 per barrel.
But they don't
till 2030. Yeah, but oil prices are dropping because one, sustainability, people are moving away from oil, trying to go towards solar, wind, blah blah blah.
And Brent crude trade, it's being traded at $76 instead.
So
not the 90.
That is why they have to like borrow money. This is like borrowing money, and but the good thing is that people are investing into bonds and getting yields after 3 years, 5 years, 7 years, whatever bond they're buying. They have trust in the bond that whatever they're building or whatever they're doing through Vision 2030 will be achieved and we will get our 5%, 3% return, whichever is promised after like 5 years.
And like just to give you all a summary of what they're building, we've seen it time and time again.
Everything.
You know, number one, we have the NEOM megacity desert project that's worth $1.5 trillion. Yeah. They're trying to have more electrical vehicles. And of course, they're going to be hosting the 2034 Men's World Cup. So they have a lot coming up.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
And they need money to build all of
it's
that.
It's crazy. Crazy.
Yeah.
It's a lot. But, you know, despite the fact that, you know, they are requiring such a big budget, investor demand in Saudi Arabia, it just continues to increase.
People are fine with, people have trust and belief in whatever they're trying to do. That is why they're putting their money every day, every night, because they know that they will get their results back.
Yeah, that's the good thing. And finally, for our last topic of the day, it's actually been reported that educated, skilled Israelis are immigrating in such high growing numbers. And this is actually occurring while IDF soldiers from Israel who are traveling in the international arena are actually being tried. Now, just to give you guys more context, it was reported by Bloomberg that more than twice as many Israelis left in 2024 compared to previous years, with just 82,700 Israelis immigrating, up from 55,400 in 2023. Now, these are insanely big numbers. The fact that this many people are leaving the country. And you know, the way that we can really put this, it's because of the genocide in Gaza. It's because of what's happening there, and a lot of these Israelis are leaving. But what's a more interesting part of this story is that a lot of the IDF soldiers that have been going on holidays, they are being tried internationally. This is completely insane. Like, one of these specific cases is that very recently, a Brazilian court actually requested police to investigate an Israeli soldier visiting the country over alleged involvement in the war crimes. Now, the people who actually triggered this investigation are known as the Hind Rajab Foundation. They're a pro-Palestinian organization, and they're Belgian-based. But the work that they're doing, it's absolutely amazing because it's all in the internet. It's all in their internet. They're finding the video footage, the photographs of these soldiers, and they're sending it to court. And I think this is so life-changing, and I think that it's so historic, Majid, because they're being tried internationally. Yeah. And what we're seeing is that the international scene is favoring Palestinians. They're standing with them, rightfully so.
Yeah. See, to be honest, there's two parts of the story. It's one, people leaving Israel. There's a lot of stuff that is happening. All the biggest credit rating firms, Moody's, and all of them, they have downgraded Israel's ratings throughout last year. Their budget that they passed recently was passed by bare minimum 54 to 53 votes. Like, so you can see that within Israel, in the government, in the Knesset, in the parliament, of theirs, there is a division on the war that they're waging everywhere. It's not just limited to Gaza. They started with Gaza after October 7th. Yeah. Then there was an invasion in Lebanon. Now, after Syria got rid of Bashar al-Assad, they're trying to get some land there. They're trying
they
to get involved.
There, yeah. Golan Heights.
They're basically trying to get everywhere, and every war has a cost. And that cost is literally costing them their budget. They're trying to tax their best doing businesses. Those people are unhappy. People who are living normally, like the normal average person on the road, everything is becoming expensive because of it. So they are frustrated with their government's decision. That's the main idea. Normal people as well, and also the people in power who are voted by the people and brought in the consent.
And it does keep getting worse, Majid, because just recently, if you heard, Biden provided over $8 billion in armed ammunition to Israel. So, I you know, it completely makes sense that Israelis are leaving. But what I love about them leaving is that people are not letting some of them get away with their behavior. I think that's what I love the most. Other than a case in Brazil, there was actually also a case in Argentina and Chile where the Hind Rajab Foundation, once again, they were able to find video footage on an Israeli soldier known as Sar for his role in the 749 Combat Engineering Battalion that is accused of destroying civilian infrastructure in Gaza. And what's really interesting about all of this, and you know, what really proves to me that they're really guilty, is that Israel has actually responded to all of this by urging its troops to avoid posting about Gaza operations on social media.
Because then they show their faces and the world knows that whatever they're doing.
And the photos that you see, Majid, they really hurt my heart. Like, these soldiers posing with families that are being arrested.
Yeah. It's weird. I don't know how a normal human being...
They're celebrating it.
Can do all of that. I see, in a conflict, in a war, in whatever you call it, I understand when two soldiers are fighting each other. But when it's soldiers versus civilians. I don't understand. There is no power balance. And that is what is happening in this genocide, in the invasion of Lebanon. Everything was one-sided from their side. And then them posting victory videos or doing stuff, everyone has seen all the weird stuff that they're doing. So I don't know how any normal human being can do that.
It's not okay.
They're brainwashed into an ideology, the Zionist ideology, that, oh, you're doing a service to the people or something. But it's beyond normal human being to do all of that.
It's good that they're getting now at least some
Pushback from the people. Even if they're going as visitors, they're getting pushback from people. The International Court of Justice, they've put out an arrest warrant for Netanyahu, the PM of Israel. Some countries are like, okay, when he comes here, we will arrest him.
And,
so the world has shown finally, you know, you remember after October 7th till the end of year, there were a lot of big countries which are now on the side of Palestine. They were like, oh no, Israel has the right to self-defense. But Israel, the levels that they went to, those countries had to change their narrative.
Yeah,
they were like, okay, we thought it was self-defense, but now it's not self-defense. It's a clear genocide.
And never forget those numbers. You know, over 45,000 Palestinians killed.
And these
over
are 100, numbers that, wounded. Those are estimates. We
more.
Know most probably there is more numbers. There's numbers which are beyond our imagination. This is only the people that somehow through some method have been counted. There's multiple numeral people who would have been under the rubble and would have been never been found. So this number, don't take it on the number. It's more than that.
Yeah, it is more than that. And with that being said, thank you so much for watching, everyone. This is Smashy Business Show, a Smashy Business production under the Augustus Media Podcast Network. You can find our newsletter on Smashy TV, and you can also find us on Instagram, X, and YouTube. Thank you so much for watching.